It's hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45. Tillman Fertitta has commented on the future of the Rockets roster. He is currently minus a GM and a head coach. At 2:30, why October 21st matters, including a celebration of a food that I probably eat enough of for all of you. And in mere minutes, the Cowboys O-line is dealing with more injuries. Plus, we start our preview of Texas Baylor. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number three. Hope you're having a good one. And we have had a lot of folks jumping in on the Specs text line since where are we at in society? Trey was telling the story about Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, and the mic was hot, and they were talking about the flyover and everything. And we're being reminded about the flyovers that there is some consideration there about practice hours, training hours, and flight hours for certain pilots. So there are situations that come up where they've got to have the flight hours anyway, and why not have them fly over the stadium? Oh, I got no problem with that. No problem at all. We were just discussing the issue that some of the ceremonial stuff that's done on the field with the flag and all that kind of, the big giant flag and everything, it was found out.
Get rid of the flyover.
It was found out over the years that there was a little bit of a different cost going on there to the Department of Justice or the Department of the Military or however it worked that people didn't realize. I'm all for the flyovers. I'm with Troy Aikman there, especially if there are those situations. If you're telling me that there's a pilot that's got to be in the air at all, somebody said that there's a connection with where even a game like, let's say a game at DKR, they might have guys flying in from California to do a flyover because they are going to be flying anyway. And they just go ahead and do that, do the flyover as part of it. That's all cool. But the other part of it we didn't discuss in where are we at is the producer element on a Fox television broadcast. Like, you're still coming back from a break with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, and they're getting on the air, and you didn't let them know that? Like, how does it all, like, everybody, I'm saying Troy and Joe are part of this too. Who was relaxed enough to let that happen? Like, that just shouldn't happen in 2020. That's your lead team.
Yeah, that was sloppy.
And that's like, what, three sentences? It wasn't two words. It wasn't that. Like, the Tom Brenneman thing with the Reds, okay, you do 160-something games normally, and it's baseball, and it's slow at times. This is the NFL, man. I don't understand how that happens. Like, somebody in the truck's got to explain that, because that ends up making Joe and Troy look bad, where they ought to be able to discuss whatever they want during the break, and then you let them know, fellas, back in five, here we go, boom. And then you're talking football.
Yeah, that's not good. Somebody got in serious trouble or maybe even fired.
I would think
so. If it's somebody new, they probably were let go.
Yeah,
because you cannot make that mistake.
That is rough.
Because that's gotten on-air hosts fired before. It happened here in Austin a number of years ago. Robert Flores.
The Roflo thing, yeah.
Yeah, he came back and he said a cuss word or something. He ends up getting canned. Now he's in a much better position years later. But that sucked for him, and that was on the producer more so than it was him. Now, it's also on the host in a way. You have to know that whenever you're talking into a microphone, it could always be on.
True.
So you do have to understand that in the back of your mind, but at the same time, that is more on the producer than anybody else.
That's true. Somebody sent a link to that Forbes article from years ago about the NFL military thing. We won't get into that, but it was in the
NFL military thing?
Yeah, the charge in the military to honor the troops, you know, all that stuff. The NFL story that came out about
I see.
When there's flags on the field and all that stuff.
Oh, it's just like the NFL profiteering off of the Breast Cancer Awareness Month stuff several years ago. They stopped doing that. Have you noticed that?
Oh, it's a crucial catch now. All cancer, Trey.
Right.
They care about all cancer.
But it's not as in your face.
True.
As it was, let's say, 5-10 years ago.
That is definitely true.
Oh, boy, Chad.
All right. So
Hold on. We've got some breaking news.
Breaking news? Another Cowboy offensive lineman got hurt?
Kudos to the Daily Texan, I guess, for breaking this one.
No.
The Longhorn Band will not participate in the Texas-Baylor game on Saturday after an internal survey asking whether members would play the Eyes of Texas revealed a lack of, quote, necessary instrumentation, according to a message to band members obtained by the Daily Texan.
Oh, those two words together, I've never heard necessary instrumentation. Hey, what do we got? Dude, we got two flutes, a tuba, and a bass drum. That is all that's willing to play the song. That's not going to sound good, man. So wait a minute. Is the band back this week?
They could have been.
Okay, but
they're not going to be there.
Okay, so because not enough of the band that's required to play Texas, to play Eyes of Texas will be there, they're just not going to have the band at all. And then they'll
not going to have the band at all.
And they'll play the recording of Eyes of Texas.
Look, we can have a conversation about if something should happen, if guys choose to walk off the field versus stick around for the Eyes of Texas. If you are a member of the Texas Longhorns band and you refuse to play the Eyes of Texas, you're out of the band. I'm sorry, you are. And I forget if you and I talked about this on or off the air yesterday.
It was off. We were talking about during
that
the meeting,
is,
yeah.
Freaking ridiculous. Get rid of every single one of those band nerds who will no longer play the school's alma mater. You jackasses.
That is a weird angle. I mean, because if you're in that band, you got to play two songs. Like, there's other songs you got to play, right? But you have to play that one, and you have to play Texas Fight a lot. A lot. So if you can't do it competency-wise, like if you're just not good enough to play it, they won't let you in. Correct? If you're not up to a certain standard.
I would assume so.
Well, if you're a saxophone player and you're just not good enough to play those songs, can't be in the band. In this case, you are saying, which you have every right to do, you are saying, I'm just uncomfortable playing this song. But now you have enough people uncomfortable playing the song that you don't have a band anymore?
So according to this Daily Texan article, the band is fairly evenly divided in opinion, according to the message. However, a ranging proportion of responses within certain instrument sections would prevent necessary instrumentation for the week.
Somebody texted, put them up where the visiting band sits. Come on, man. You can't put them that high. I mean, that's way up there.
No, just don't give them seats. They don't get to go to the game this weekend. I'm sorry. And those who refuse to play the Eyes, you're out of the band, as far as I'm concerned. That sucks for you, and you're probably going to bitch about it because you're an entitled 19, 20, 21-year-old. But see ya. I'm sorry. That is a basic requirement for you to be in that band. And Douglas Dempster, who is the dean of the College of Fine Arts, had previously said the band was... When have we heard this word in the recent past? Expected to play the song.
Oh, the expectation. I got you.
Yeah.
Not a wish, but an expectation. Somebody texted in, F this whole damn thing. This says, S like this is the band is what makes Texas hard to like. Can we all just grow the F up? This says, I agree with Trey. Bye-bye band members. And then this one says, hang on, this one would be good. Be careful, Trey. You're going to hurt someone's feelings. LMAO. Pull their freaking scholarships. This is getting freaking ridiculous. Are they on Scholly with the band?
I don't know. Some may be. And if you're on scholarship specifically because of what you're doing in the band, yeah, that should be in jeopardy. It really should. I'm not kidding about that either, by the way.
The football player thing is a slightly different story,
I guess. But for the band specifically, if you refuse to play the Eyes of Texas, you should be kicked out of the band.
Oh, my God. Did the drum major say she wasn't going to do it? So they feel like that across the board. I don't know. I'm not sure where that ends up. But
according to the email from the dean of the College of Liberal Arts or Fine Arts, whatever it was, it's a pretty even split, but there are certain sections of instruments that refuse to play.
Okay, so this would be my additional question. This week, I don't think there was any expectation one way or the other that the band was going to be there. Why would this story need to get out? Why wouldn't you just let it roll and let the Eyes of Texas play on a recording?
Because the band was supposed to be there for Baylor, I guess.
Okay. But
like that had been previously reported.
Oh, it had been. I didn't realize that was out.
That was something that was supposed to happen. That was planned,
okay.
And now it's not happening.
Wow. All right.
So because of the internal survey that found that there is not necessary instrumentation to play the Eyes of Texas.
See, that's another angle we were going to have, Trey. We were going to have not only are they back at home and all the mess happened in Dallas, there was going to be a live band. But now you don't have enough instruments willing to play it to... Wow. That is crazy. Okay. I have a solution. Third-party observer solution. Are you ready? It's Wednesday. Between now and Saturday, could you enlist members of the alumni band? Could you use the alumni band in a way they've never used it before? Normally, the alumni band is kind of a jokey thing. Sometimes the current students will make fun of it. But, Trey, if John and Beaumont and if Sally and Galveston are ready to play... And they can get them an instrument, and they're willing to play the Eyes of Texas. Do we go alumni band joining current band play the Eyes of Texas. Sam throws up the Hook'em Horns, joined by his teammates after a win over Baylor. Hallelujah.
Anything's possible at this point, Chad.
I'll give you a
couple of other possibilities.
All right.
Cardboard cutouts in place of the bands with little speakers.
Oh, man.
Attached to the holes of the instruments that they're holding in these cardboard cutouts.
Okay, Teddy, we know you don't want to play game day. Can you just play your tuba part into this microphone, and then we're going to put a cardboard version of you out there, and we're going to push the sound out.
Oh, my God.
And then the other suggestion is just let's go ahead and replace the current alma mater, the Eyes of Texas, with a newer song that everybody can get behind, one that is not in any way unique, and I'm sure there's some sort of history about it that will eventually get it canceled as well, because we are in 2020. Let's just go ahead and replace the Eyes of Texas with Don't Stop Believing, something that I said very tongue-in-cheek going back a couple of years now, but specifically this summer when this conversation started, I did tweet out, let's just go ahead and play Don't Stop Believing wherever we would be playing the Eyes of Texas before and after football games.
You do realize at some point somebody will realize you can't play Don't Stop Believing because that band's from San Francisco.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of dirty, no-good West Coasters.
Look, I mean, the most extreme version of this mindset is currently tearing down statues of Abraham Lincoln.
It's true.
And Ulysses S. Grant. So what are we going to do here?
This says, hell yeah, Chad, except John from Beaumont will refuse to mask up. Well, see, that's a whole nother issue. I'm just trying to get the band back together, man, literally. I'm trying to get enough band members to play the Eyes of Texas, and we all know that the alumni band, they had a huge alumni band group there last year, rolling down Bevo Boulevard. I don't know if you saw that one. But they had a massive group last year.
Oh, there's a ton.
Of the alumni band.
There are a ton of people who would step forward to make this happen.
And there's pride in that, man. I've watched it. We've all watched that happen.
Yeah.
And there's something cool about it when you see it. And you're like, oh, my God, look at that. That's class. Dude's class of 60 whatever. And, oh, man, that lady's like class of 75. I mean, that's really cool to see. And I don't know. Maybe they think about it.
I'm surprised these band dorks, if they were going to band together. No pun intended there. I apologize for that one.
They're not actually banding together in this case.
If they were going to band in half to try and elicit a change, I'm surprised they didn't get together to try and force a change away from those tasseled capes that they're forced to wear every Saturday.
Mm, yeah, that could be tough. What if you did half the band and like a DJ? Could you do like a half and half?
You mean the Irwin Center setup?
Right. And maybe Smokey the Cannon at the end. Oh, my God. This is crazy. All right. So, yeah, if you're just tuning in, apparently the band doesn't. This just feeds right into the discussion we were going to have. I was just going to tell them about the uniforms, Trey. It was going to be nice and simple. My God, we're going to bring people together because everybody loves the Icy Whites. Now we can't even have it Eyes of Texas because half the band or enough of the band isn't going to play. Your sort of positive is that the Longhorns are going to wear the whites at home for the first time since 1950. So if you love the Icy Whites, and maybe you've always thought, hey, why don't they ever do this? Cowboys do it at home. Cowboys are one of the few NFL teams that like to wear white in their place. Mm. So Baylor will have to bring their colors for the first time ever, I guess. I don't know if they ever have to do this. So Baylor can go black, all green, all whatever they want, because Texas will go with the Icies on Saturday. And it looks even more like bare. And
I was about to say, they're not really icy whites.
More clean.
Like, yeah, they're even plainer that. They are almost true Stormtrooper uniforms, because other than the numbers, there's not a whole lot of other color on those unis.
And if you wanted to really make the joke, the Longhorns have had the accuracy of Stormtroopers lately, but that's a whole nother issue. But Trey, here's the other.
The Stormtroopers were playing behind a bad offensive line, Chad.
That's true. That is true. Say what you want about the Emperor. He was not focused on offensive line. We know that for sure. But the other thing to clarify, somebody texted in, Chad, they're wearing those uniforms because of the 1970 team. Okay, that's not true. Here's the mistake that was made at the university level on the media side. They sent out messaging that they were going to pay tribute to the 1970 championship team this week. That's not true. They're going to pay tribute to the 70 team later in the year, I think with the Iowa State game.
But I got an email saying that it was paying tribute to the 70 team.
I know. But today they sent another email correcting that and saying, no, the uniforms are just because this is, hang on, I wrote it down to make sure I got it right. This is the retro throwback celebration of the 110th meeting with Baylor.
Well, I'm glad to hear the support staff is as buttoned up on details as the football staff is.
Yeah, because 1950 is the last time they wore whites at home, so this will not be a depiction of what Texas wore in 1970, if that's what you thought it was going to be.
What are we doing this for again?
I think they just wanted to have some throwback
unis. Just because 1950 was 70 years ago?
That I don't know. I'm not sure if that's exactly the reason.
So there's really no specific reason why we chose 1950 other than the fact that the last time it happened was 70 years ago versus Purdue?
I guess maybe that's because it was a nice even number of 70 years and they wanted to do it for that reason.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But I'm
very confused.
But then,
this.
Of course, the 1970 team would get their love. That's 50 years.
And for the record, I don't care. I'm fine with whatever uniforms they wear as long as they play better than they have.
Right. They just need to play some better football. Whether you go orange or white, they need to figure out a way to play better football. So they will be wearing the whites. They will also be playing with Jake Smith.
Thank goodness.
We certainly hope. Jake Smith was able to get back at more of a normal practice schedule this week. And, Trey, he's an interesting guy. People have been texting in today. Not only is he a guy at the beginning of the year that was thought to be a comfort level guy for Sam and thought would make the offense better, we've seen little flashes of that, but people have also brought up the big drop against Oklahoma. That's something he's got to overcome, right? There's been some big drop moments. There's been moments where Sam needed to make a better throw and he didn't, or he made a pretty good throw and a receiver let him down. Those things have happened. The two times against Oklahoma that Sam and Tariq Black couldn't connect, I thought were huge moments. The one where he made Tariq take it off the ground when he could have thrown a better ball, and then the one where he just missed Tariq. Mm-hmm. Or either Tariq ran the route wrong, a little bit wrong, or Sam airmailed him, one of the two. And that could have been a huge play. I think it was a third down play, mm-hmm. where not only could they convert, he might have gone to the house. But then Jake Smith, that drop late in the game was big time.
Yes, it was, and I feel like Jake will eventually get it. Now, we've been waiting for almost a full year because these issues that started with him really began in the second half of last season. So this has been going on for a year now, and that is a little bit troubling, but eventually you expect a guy who was the Gatorade National Player of the Year his senior season coming out of Arizona for that light to turn on for him. Now, what I'm wondering about are who are some of the other guys that will be most involved in this passing game. We've talked a little bit about Joshua Moore. Eric Nalin made a great point about, well, you want him to be that guy, that number one wide receiver, that big body on the outside, but he is a little bit slight of frame for that. And we saw him have a hard time fighting for the football versus the diminutive Oklahoma defensive backs, cornerbacks, and whatnot. So I don't know if he's necessarily the answer either. One thing I am sure of is that this team will be better off playing more Jared Wiley. We heard that was going to be the case before the Oklahoma game. He was getting more run with the ones in practice that week, yet it got to game time, and all of a sudden Cade Brewer is playing a majority of the snaps. Get Jared Wiley in there. He can be a weapon for you. He can be a force. He is unguardable. I don't care if you're putting a linebacker or a safety on him. You probably have to put one of each on him just to stand a chance.
Because you watch that moment. I know the play on that big third and whatever it was where he got the first down against, who would that have been? Against TCU, right? Again, the TCU game, that crazy third and 20 or whatever that he got. I get that that's kind of an accidental play, but that's a blinking light to tell you.
It's an accidental play, but it was a dig route where Wiley was able to get upfield quickly and make something happen because he has that sort of athleticism for that size.
Right, and you don't want it to get, if it gets you 25 every time, that'd be cool. You need it to get you 8. What you need is for that play to get you 8 on 3rd and 6. Yep. That's what you need.
Yeah.
And the guy seems to have the ability to float into those spots and make himself available. I thought Eric Nalin's comment from Inside Texas earlier was really pointed and perfect for this week when I asked him about the offensive line and is it good enough to support what you're trying to do. And he said, you have to scheme it to that point. You have to scheme it to make it work. Just because your offensive line's, nobody's offensive line's perfect. You have to scheme your offense to hide certain things, right? Whether it's like a, you know, an actor with makeup or putting TV people on and which side is the better side, you have to figure out what your deficiencies are. This is where Rod Babers and others have been hammering Tom Herman on self-scouting for years. You've got to figure out you've got to find out where your ass is showing and cover it. And that's what they don't do a good job of. And to me, Jared Wiley could be part of that. Do what you do well and help cover up what you don't do well. That's what it's about, isn't it, Trey?
Yeah, that's a very, very basic way to think about it, but sometimes you need to go back to the basics. So I fully agree with what you just said right there. I don't know. I'm very frustrated by a lot of what I'm seeing on offense, less than defense. And I didn't necessarily think that I would be saying that four games into the season, but here we are. And Tom Herman is still meddling too much with the offensive game plan, flat out calling plays at times, and clearly dictating the pace of play on the offensive side of the football. Now, somebody is asking if we want to see more of Bijan Robinson at running back this week. I'd like to see more of him. I thought he did a decent job versus Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Roschon Johnson probably at least a little bit banged up still. We know Keontae Ingram has potential, but he also is somebody who gets inside his own head. That was proven the very first carry of the Oklahoma game, where he ends up getting benched for most of the first half after that. So I'd love to see more of Bijan Robinson.
Just don't throw the wheel route to him on 3rd-and-2 for 20 yards. That's probably a bad move.
Well,
And airmail the throw.
I was about to say, it depends on how accurate the throw is.
Yeah, that's fair. So we've hit all that stuff with the Longhorns. The Cowboy update today, real quick if you missed it. Brandon Knight is out for a few weeks with an injury of his own, and then they've still got Zach Martin out with the concussion. They do not know if he's going to play against Washington. So Trey and myself and every other Longhorn on the planet is asking the question we've been asking for years now. He's a third-year guy, right? Most experienced offensive lineman. We've been asking for 3 years. Now maybe this is it. Is this the thing that's going to get Connor Williams to left tackle? Because they need a left tackle against Washington, and then the depth charts I'm looking at says they don't really have one. Maybe this is the week where they try Connor Williams at tackle. Imagine that. Cowboys and Washington is a noon kick on Sunday, 11 o'clock pregame for you right here on the Horn. All right, coming up, it's October 21st, and why it matters. As always, we've got some food we need to talk about, including maybe Trey's favorite food on this earth. A big birthday when it comes to the NFL, and an even bigger birthday when it comes to big cabooses. Coming up on the Horn.
I'm on vacation every single day, cause I love my occupation. Hey, I'm on vacation. If you don't like your life, then you should go and change it. Hey, I'm on vacation every single day, cause I love my occupation. Hey, I'm on vacation every single day, every single day.
This is Dirty Heads, Chad. This is a band that my in-laws turned me on to. They opened up for 311, I think it was last summer.
I feel like I've heard this song
more than
you may
a year
have played
ago. I probably have played this song before, and they do a great job. Now, it gets a little bit repetitive after you hear enough of their songs, but this song in particular, it's an earworm. It'll get in your head, and you'll have a hard time getting rid of it.
Seems like I don't know much about them. Obviously, I've just heard that song a couple of times, but it seems like a band with a lot of uptightness. Just a lot of nervousness in the band, right?
Yeah.
Not willing to let go.
Yeah, they're pretty straight-edged.
Right.
They avoid substances.
Exactly.
Especially the green variety.
Exactly. Trey's got a beach wedding to go to this weekend, and it got rescheduled from April. But it is going to happen in 2020. So shout out to that couple that's getting it done. And shout out to Trey and his wife who get to go check it out and at a beach wedding. Nothing wrong with that. Get to have some fun over the weekend. Trey will be out Friday, Monday, and Tuesday as we get through the Texas Baylor situation and then into next week. We've added ingredient to the Texas Baylor situation. Let's go ahead and start there with Why Today Matters on the 21st.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All righty, and I got to give credit to my co-host here because I know Trey's, we talk about this. Trey's mentioned different aspects of this Eyes of Texas thing and where it could go. And, of course, the big discussion has been about, well, did they play it and who hit play? And did they not hit play in Lubbock? Well, why didn't they do it? Did they wait a little bit? Oh, that had to be confusing because we keep saying there's been no band. There's been no band. But I know Trey brought it up, I feel like it was maybe even months ago, if not weeks ago. But when the discussion came up around June, July, I remember talk about the Longhorn band members. And there was at least one member of the band, and there was a group of maybe band members who thought, well, you know, are we going to be uncomfortable playing the Eyes of Texas? Apparently this week, the plan was that the band would be at the game. But now the band is announcing that they don't have, let me see if I get this right, Trey, the proper instrumentation represented to play the Eyes of Texas before and after the game.
That's the wording.
So my idea is to try to enlist the alumni band. We'll see what happens in a few days' time. That's Thursday, Fred. You only have 3 days left, and you got a pandemic going on, so that might be tough to do. But as of now, it will still be the recording, and the live band will not be there. So we'll see how Longhorn fans react to that going into Texas and Baylor. Good grief. All right, so it is October the 21st. And there are a few things to mention here, but I feel like we need to start with, we can start with a nice rant. I retweeted this earlier. Today in 2011 is when we heard the "We Need More Dogs" for the first time. The Coastal Carolina coach.
Oh, that's a great rant.
Don't need no kitty cat, need more dogs. Be like a dog. That guy's David Bennett is the name. He was their very first coach when they started football at Coastal Carolina. He was the first coach of that team. The Chanticleers, I believe, is that weird mascot. And it's cool, though. It's a nice muscular chicken that looks like it could kick your ass. 2011 is when that happened. So happy We Need More Dogs Day.
Wonder what he's up to now. What's his name? David Bennett?
David Bennett. I looked him up today. I think he's in high school administration, unfortunately. That did not springboard into anything.
That's a shame.
Yeah, his flip out didn't send him in skyrocketing into some great career.
Hmm.
He was fired literally that year in 2011.
Yeah, that was his last year of coaching. No, he coached for River Bluff High School.
Right, but I'm saying last time in college.
Oh, he was not good for River Bluff either. His last year was 1-9.
Oh, that's not good.
Apparently he had a bunch of cats on that team.
Oh, do I have my bands on right? Do I have my extra bands? All that story did too. The other thing that story did for me is I wanted to watch that guy interact with animals after that. I like, really, is this how you speak to cats? Is that what you do? You freak cats out till they run into your screen doors? That's what's going on? It's a weird little story. But that minute of video, I retweeted it today, at CHastings1049, if you want to check that out. Trey, it is also apparently National Apple Day. I know, of course, you found this today. I don't know anyone who likes apples as much as you do.
Yeah, and it's really one apple. I'll eat other apples at times when they're out of stock of Fujis at Central Market or HEB or Whole Foods, but I'm a Fuji guy through and through. It's the perfect combination of sweet, a little bit of tart, and I am to the point of eating two or three a day. Sometimes
wow.
Sometimes it's in the 4 to 5 range.
So when you go buy Fuji apples, how many do you have to buy to feel like you're, I mean, what do you do? What are you buying? Like 30 at a time?
usually 10 at a time.
Okay. Because if you're going two or three a day.
Yeah, usually 10 at a time. If they're smaller, it's probably closer to 12 or 14. And sometimes I'll literally go to the store just to get apples.
Wow.
Because I'm having to restock on the apples. We're good on everything else.
Honey, I'm making an apple run. Is that what you say?
Justine will get it. Every time she goes to the store, she gets me more Fujis because she knows they won't go to waste.
That's awesome. And also, now this is, you got to talk to me about this one because it's also National Caramel Apple Day. I've never had one. I've never needed one. They look gross to me. It looks like two worlds I don't need to have together. Have you ever had a caramel apple?
I have had a caramel apple before. They're not bad. The problem with caramel is it's too sticky.
That's what I'm
saying. It gets onto your teeth, and then at that point it becomes more obnoxious than anything else. It tastes good in the moment, though.
I'd rather have cotton candy.
Hmm.
When I look at a caramel apple, I'd rather have cotton candy. And I don't like cotton candy that much.
It's less of a continuing nuisance after you eat it. Like, I am not crazy about cotton candy at all. I'm probably just passing on dessert if those are my two options.
Isn't the caramel, it's messy, right? The caramel's going to run down under my hand, isn't it?
Well, it hardens up. It hardens up. It's not like they're scalding you with it.
So it's like an Eskimo pie of caramel and the apples, the ice cream? Is that what I'm supposed to think of it?
Sure. Or like a dipped ice cream cone.
Right, okay.
Like a dipped ice cream cone. The chocolate doesn't stay running down the cone.
All right.
It hardens up, and then you're good to go to eat it.
Maybe I'll try it. Also, did you tell me it's National Garbanzo Bean Day?
Garbanzo bean, yeah. You know what those are?
I've heard the name, but I don't think I've ever had them.
Perhaps you've heard the name chickpea?
I've heard the name chickpea, yes.
Do you know what chickpeas are? You know what they make up?
I know that
you know what their key ingredient is?
Hang on. I think I can do this. Chickpeas, I've had a chickpea. Chickpea is the key ingredient in hummus?
That's right.
There we go.
Very well done.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you today.
Yo, you and Kevin wear off on me. I listened to you guys a little bit.
But did you know that chickpea and garbanzo are the same thing?
No.
Okay.
Oh, is that what a garbanzo bean is?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I've had one.
Yeah.
I've had a few. Chickpeas aren't bad.
If you've had a dip of hummus, you've had more
I've had
a few.
More than a few.
It takes
okay.
a lot of garbanzos to make hummus.
Excellent. All right. I've had a garbanzo bean. How about that? Now, this just sounds gross. National Hagfish Day. That doesn't sound like something I want to eat. The hell's a hagfish? Is
that's
any good?
A good question. It does not sound appealing, but I've never had one either, nor have I heard of it. Chad, now, let's see. Hagfish is...
And I'm not a
fish. They're eel-shaped fish. So maybe I have had hagfish because I like a good eel.
Because I'm not a fish snob. I'll eat any kind of fish. I mean, I know there are people that are anti-tilapia or they're anti-this or that, and they'll talk about some. They don't. Some people don't like the catfish. I'll eat all kinds of fish, but I've never had hagfish.
Hagfish are the only known living animals that have a skull but no vertebral column.
Fair enough.
So there's your hagfish fact for the day.
A skull but no neck. All right. There's some football player I could reference from back in the day, I guess, right? Like, is there some linebacker I should be able to think of right now? Who's got a big skull and no neck?
It wasn't a linebacker, but Merrill Hodge.
Takeo Spikes or somebody like that.
Takeo Spikes was
thick.
Definitely that
right?
dude.
Remember that guy? Who did not appear to have a neck?
He really did look like a character drawn in a comic book.
Yeah.
Takeo Spikes.
He looked like He-Man characters. Remember how they made those characters real thick with the arms and didn't really have much of a neck? That's kind of what they were. Speaking of linebackers, I mentioned earlier, Mo Lewis, 51 years old today, he put the hit on Drew Bledsoe, which then gave birth to Tom Brady and the whole legend of it.
Oh, man.
And by the way, go watch it. It is one of the most vicious football hits you will ever see.
What did it do to Bledsoe?
It knocked him out for the rest of the year.
Like head injury or knee injury?
I think it was like multiple ribs and like something internal. I mean, he crushed him. And nowadays, you'd get thrown out instantly.
Mm.
It was a helmet to helmet, the whole thing. It was vicious. So happy birthday to Mo today. Also, happy birthday. This makes me feel young, Trey. Kim Kardashian is only 40 years old today. I kind of like saying that out loud.
That's surprising.
That kind of makes me feel young.
I didn't realize she was that close to our age, and you're a few years older than me. I'm 42. I'm almost 43. Yeah. I didn't realize she was within 3 years. I mean, I would have assumed mid-30s.
Yeah. Now, there are parts of her that are only 15, but she is 40 years old today.
Well done. You know what else today is, Chad? Back to the Future Day.
Is it really?
It's the day on the... of the Back to the Future car.
October 21st. Okay. That's
like October 21st is the day, and then you have the different years.
You do whatever year, but right. Okay. Back to the Future Day. How about that?
It's also Love Your Body Day.
All right.
As somebody
is that
with
more of an existential thing or more of like a...
Love your own body.
Right, but like just sort of walking around and telling yourself or like...
I think it's feeling better about yourself is what they intended. And for somebody with body dysmorphic issues like me, helps keep me healthy. But I have a hard time pointing out the best part of me, body-wise.
Really?
Unless you allow me to include my ass.
Well, then, of course. Why wouldn't you be allowed to include that?
What's your favorite?
This is Kim Kardashian's birthday. We have to celebrate the caboose on Kim Kardashian's birthday.
Good call.
Come on.
What's your favorite body part of yourself?
My favorite body part?
Because I know my favorite body part of yours.
I think there's going to be the same thing. I think I would probably have to say the calves if I'm going to pick.
Are Kevin and I still in line to get those in your will?
I don't know that that's actually been put into the will. That's more of a handshake or more of a calf flex agreement between the three of us.
Well, if you still have partial consciousness as you're about to leave this earth, just make sure to tell the paramedics to flash freeze your calves.
I haven't.
Kevin and I can have some good human osso buco.
One of these days, I need to have talk about it with an actual doctor and discuss it and say, look, I'm an organ donor. Right. I'm an organ donor and I would like to do that, and especially after I die, maybe before, but really after. But then ask them like, OK, this is going to sound silly, but if I have two friends that would like to harvest my calves when I die, how does that work into the whole organ donation thing? And just see if I get kicked out of the doctor's office at that point.
And you need to clarify, we don't want organs. So people who
are not organs, correct.
Right. People who want those body parts for reasons to help them continue to live, they still get those.
But what about the people, Trey, that after I'm dead, feel bad about their own calves and my calves could help them feel better? Is their mental health worth it to maybe make that a part of the organ donation?
We don't have lower leg transplants available just yet.
They have calf implants, don't they? But yeah, they use silicone. It is the real deal, though, baby.
I know. That's why you need to stop brainstorming other things that can happen with your calves and just give them to Kevin and me, please.
This is pure gastrocnemius muscle from the source, baby. Come on. It is all I have to offer when it comes to body parts. That is it. Now, thanks to the Soda Weight Loss Program, I will say there are other body parts that I've noticed where I go, oh, that's not as bad as it used to be. But the calves are probably still in the lead. And soda's even made the calves look better. I'll say that, too. SodaWeightLoss.com, just to give them another plug. All right, coming up, we will get you some stems and seeds before we get out of here. Both Van Gundy brothers were broadcasters. Both were talking to teams about jobs. One of them is definitely getting a job. We'll tell you which one and which team. Plus, we'll talk about Game 2 of the World Series. It is set for tonight. We'll let you know who's pitching. This is The Horn.
It's as simple as something that nobody knows it. Her eyes are as big as her bubbly toes. On the feet of a queen of the hearts of the cards. And her feet are all covered with tarballs and scars. It's a common as something that nobody knows it. Her beauty will follow wherever she goes. Up the hill in the back of her house in the wood. She loved me forever, I know. She could.
I just thought of another good fantasy idea. Take me back in time to any tour in Hawaii for Jack Johnson, and I get to be a roadie for like 2 weeks.
That'd be cool.
Because I think a third week would kill me.
I would be okay just sitting around whatever campfire he's got the guitar out for.
Dude.
Prior to him getting big.
You never know. He might be at your beach in Mexico. Does your boy know Jack? Jack might be the music. You don't know.
He knows some people. I don't know if he knows Jack Johnson, though.
This is off the album Kevin turned me on to, right? Off the Brushfire Fairy Tales?
Yeah. I only played one song off of this album these last 2 days. Tomorrow I'm going to insist that Sam Pica plays Bob Marley all afternoon.
Nice.
This is literally the first album that I'll pull out when we get to the beach, and I will play it beginning to end before we play anything else.
It's a great record. It also has the most ironic cover of any album I've ever seen in my life. It is the...
Him just getting dumped on, rain-wise?
Yeah. It makes no sense, but it works somehow. And the music is fantastic. I'm so glad Kevin turned me on to that. Kevin's a big fan of Jack Johnson, and Brushfire Fairy Tales is definitely the album or an album to check out. I won't say the album. I don't want to make Jack Johnson fans mad if there's another one, but that is a great album. All right, Trey's playing beach music today because he is headed to that beach wedding this weekend. Right now, we are headed towards Stems and Seeds, and we'll start with, oh God, that band update.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
It's brought to you by AV Consultations. AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. I wish that I was making this up, Longhorn fans, but I am not. Comes from earlier in the afternoon. I'm actually looking at a Brian Davis story from the Statesman right now, but today the Daily Texan breaks the news that the Longhorn band will not play during the Baylor game. An internal memo from band director Scott Hanna said the band lacked the, quote, necessary instrumentation to perform. A UT source confirmed the band will not play. I choose not to run. Will not play until the eyes issue is resolved. So, Trey, I will ask you, as a Longhorn fan and somebody that's been following this mess since it started, what the hell does resolved mean? Resolved?
Resolved means...
How are they going to resolve this?
After the season, we're asking every band member, will you play the Eyes of Texas going forward? And if your answer is no, you're out of the band. And they'll find other people to come in to take your place who are willing to play the school's alma freaking mater, Chad. That is not in the least bit racist.
Or is the school willing to take the other path, change what they've said, and consider the idea of changing the school song?
Yeah, let's just go ahead and make it Don't Stop Believing. Let's just be the most unoriginal a-holes out there. And eventually that song will get canceled too. No, I'm sorry. We have to put our... We have to put our feet in the ground at a certain point, and this is one of those lines that I'm not allowing this to be crossed. Perhaps other people will eventually relent, but I feel like there are enough folks who are feel passionately enough about this that they're not going to be okay with that song just going away.
And so far, the university has made that statement, obviously. In July, they made it clear that the Eyes of Texas is going to stay around. They have this committee to do further education on it. Like, why would you get a committee together to tell everybody something in January about the furthering education if you're getting rid of the song? To me, that is you're saying, we're going to live with this song, and we're just going to figure out how to do it.
You know what I'd want to get rid of before the Eyes of Texas, Chad?
I don't.
The band. Let's just go ahead and get rid of the band.
Oh, come on.
They feel that strongly about it. We've got good enough technology now that we can play things through speakers that sound like a band. If they really don't want to play the school song, what the hell are you at the University of Texas for?
See, now this story's
in the band.
Now this story's got y'all turning on your band and your football team and all these things. Oh, this fracturing is not good. It's not good. Not good at all. BB's out of the box. BB's out of the box. Somebody get the box. Somebody grab some BB's. Somebody get a magnet. Does a magnet pick up BB's if they're on the floor? I don't even know what BB's are made out of.
Yeah, I was about to say, it depends on what the BB's are made out of.
Right? Oh, my God. All right, so that is the biggest story that's broken during the show today. No Longhorn Band at the Baylor game, but I'm assuming they would still have the recording of the Eyes of Texas for after the game of whatever's going to happen. So we'll keep an eye on that. Also tonight, if you want to check out Game 2 of the World Series, this is why you have horses. Last night is why Clayton Kershaw is the horse for the Dodgers. Tonight is why Blake Snell is Blake Snell. If you're a big dog, this is the game you win. Blake Snell against Tony Gonsolin for the Dodgers, 7 o'clock on Fox. Obviously, Snell and the Rays trying to, air quotes, steal one in L.A. Steal one when L.A. is the home team, of course. And we'll see if Blake Snell can do that. Big game for the Dodgers last night. All right, before we get out of here, Mark Henry calls in.
That's right.
World's Strongest Man has a thought or two. Mark, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, man. I'm sitting here listening to the show as I always do, and I always appreciate good banter back and forth, but I feel like there's no banter back and forth because everybody's siding with the same thing, and, you know, sometimes you do have to stick your feet in the ground and plant yourself on an issue, but you got to look at it from the other side. You know, like, you know, I fought with this when I was 23, and I found out that Francis Scott Key, who wrote the Star Spangled Banner, was a slave owner, not only a slave owner, but a brutal slave owner, and, you know, was the third stanza in the national anthem was as racist as anything that you've ever heard in your life. And they took it out. The whole third stanza of the national anthem was taken out.
Right.
There's, at some point, you have to make a decision to do the right thing as it relates to all people, not just white people or black people. And the people that go forward and say, well, I'm just tired of the whole thing, like I just heard, it troubled me because you guys are the beacons for sports and the people that love sports, not the white people that love sports.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mark. We're up against it, man.
Mark, call back tomorrow. Let's have a further conversation about that.
Absolutely. World's Strongest Man, Mark Henry, one of our great listeners. We do appreciate that. We'll keep having this conversation, and so will Triple Option. They're coming up next with RBKD. Enjoy your Wednesday. We'll be back for a Thursday show tomorrow. We'll get back into that conversation and our normal Thursday stuff as well. Have a good one. Two.